Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You're watching out on the YouTube. Make sure you're subscribing to us, clicking on us, and all that stuff. I'm the guy in the Mr. Rogers sweater because it's chilly here, but I am getting my Latin blood ready for a little Florida, I don't know, vacation, staycation. I've been to Florida a million times. I don't know how many times Luke's been. I know I've been to Sarasota with Luke. I know I've been to Miami with Luke. But I ain't never been to Disney World with Luke, so this might be kind of fun. We're going to be going to Sarasota later on this week, heading on down to Orlando. They let Luke in. They don't let me in. Maybe it's my long hair. Maybe it's my Venezuelan heritage. I'm really not sure, but I will not be on the inside, but I'll have my Oriole jersey on, which I may sport before the segment's over with, as well as at the NFL owners' meetings this week. You can follow Luke. You can follow us at WNST. One of us will be acting like a reporter. The other one of us will be acting like Lou from Back to School. Driving Mr. Luke through Florida. Luke, we're going down this week, and March Madness used to be such a big thing with the players, right? We lost the late, great Jim Poole recently, one of my favorite people. When Mark Messina comes on, he and I will talk about Jim Poole. I know that Rick Vaughn and I talked about Jim Poole a couple weeks ago as well. But Jim Poole was famous, along with Mike Messina, for handling the pool, the March Madness pool of the Orioles players. Boy, March Madness is like thumbs down this year for all of us. You and I used to get down to Sarasota and watch the Terps play. We'd make time on an evening and watch, to watch Suleiman or whoever it was, dribble for the Terps, or maybe even dribble Duke at some point. But we're going down to Sarasota, and it's a contending baseball team that you're going to be on the clubhouse with every day, with new ownership that I'm crossing my fingers that they're nice, sane, decent people who understand I want to cover the baseball team. And I'm tired of writing Peter Principles and releasing 18-year-old books on my dad and his love of baseball. You and I are going to go love some baseball this weekend. I'm going to put a ball cap on. I'm not going to cut my hair, but I will put it up under my ball cap and be proper. I'm getting to go to JetBlue Park. I've been to Fort Myers, but I ain't really never been to Fort Myers. I mean, like, we're going to spend the night. We're going to go drinking in Fort Myers. We're going to see what Fort Myers is made of on Thursday night, Luke.
Well, there you go. And, you mentioned we've been to Sarasota, but it's been 9 years. I went back and
whoa,
looked.
Whoa, it was whoa, 2000- whoa, 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 whoa. It's been 9 years since you and I were in Sarasota.
It was 2015 when we went, and it was early. It was very early in spring training before the games had started, which is obviously, that's probably, all things being equal, that might be the most ideal time to go. And obviously that's right up against the end of the Super Bowl, end of the football season.
Well, I can
season.
Tell you that me as a solo artist and us as a radio station probably did about 16 or 17 straight years of going to spring training. We always went in February, right? You get down there, everybody's loose. There's no buses here and there.
Right.
It's a pain in the ass to show up now in the middle of it. It's really gruesome to show up at the end for veteran, when Will Clark's there and when Roberto Alomar's, it's different than I think it is for this bunch. I wish I had a press pass this week. I know you do. You know some of these cats. I can't wait to fly into this thing at some point, hopefully, fingers crossed, media pass crossed, to like fly into this, because this is an exciting, exciting, exciting thing for the city, for fans, for any guy named Aparici, for anybody who loves baseball. This is exciting, man.
No question about it. And you've got a young group that potentially could get a little bit younger in terms of some of the prospects that you and I have talked about in some of our previous discussions. But I think it's fun, in seeing the end of spring training, kind of just sniff things out a little bit, see where they stand. I mean, obviously, guys are optimistic. I think players at this point in time, having talked to guys over the years where, I'm there for a workout the day before opening day at the ballpark, whatever. And, guys are ready. The guys are ready at this point in time, assuming aside from guys that are dealing with a little bit of a health issue here or there. I mean, Mountcastle's a little banged up right now. Mullins was a little banged up. Obviously, we've talked about the pitchers who are dealing with, arm issues that are going to delay the start of their season. But for the most part, I think, guys have been down there for, what, 5 weeks now. the lights at the end of the tunnel in terms of, hey, it's go time. It's time to get back to Baltimore. It's time to play the Angels on opening day and to get this thing going. And, you
But
know,
there's
I
also a
think.
lot of uncertainty too, right? I mean,
Sure,
there's
sure.
amongst players, trades, almost, you know, there's 15 guys here that they could trade on this roster, and none of it would shock me for the right bag of baseballs, you know, for the right starting pitcher, for the right relief pitcher. If it's out there, Elias is going to be on it. I have no doubt about that. I mean, he's fine-tuning this thing to be better in October, not to be, I hope we're in the race in August.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I think he's methodical, and however he does it, he tends to be methodical. So that's where I've said, and we've talked about it, and the idea of I'm not necessarily expecting a trade by opening day, but who knows? You know, Corbin Burnes, that move came out of nowhere, right? In one of the most exciting weeks in the history of the franchise, back in what, late end of January, beginning of February. So you never really know from that standpoint. But yeah, there's that anxiousness. Certainly, guys that are on the proverbial roster bubble, you know, whether they're going to start, you know, you have guys who want to be in Baltimore. They don't want to go to Norfolk, you know, for the start of the Triple A season. They want to be in Baltimore. And, you know,
Well, there's 30 guys that hope they're going to be here, and five, and you know, going to be a handful to get disappointed. I mean, and to your point, somebody's getting traded this week. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced there's a WNST text coming before the end of.
no, I mean, I'm,
No?
see, I convinced of it. No. Convinced
Okay.
of that. I mean, I think if Mike Elias feels that the best thing they can do is to hold on to guys that they're not going to bring up to Baltimore right now, but fortify their offensive depth or, you know, their outfield depth or whatever it might be, and thinks that they can get more value for a guy in a trade a month from now, then no, he's not gonna force anything. I think we've seen that over and over at this point. So I'm saying I
I think
wouldn't be
bullpen
shocked
help.
by that.
I don't think I'm blockbuster. I don't think they're getting another Burns, but I think they'll
Yeah.
get bullpen help. And to your point, it might not be in a trade. It might be off the edge of a roster, but that creates even
Sure.
more of like the guys we've talked about for the last 3 weeks, that there's one less guy you thought, you know, March 15th,
Right.
you think, yeah, he could probably come in north, and then two guys get in the way because some guys falls off the side of a roster and they deal for another Coulomb.
Right. And let's be clear. When you said send out the WNST text, it might be some guy that no one that we haven't even heard of before. I mean, I don't send out a text alert when it's someone that no one has ever heard from before. At the same time, they've acquired some guys that fit that description and that end up contributing for them. So
You
you
heard
never
them
know.
later.
Yeah, exactly. So from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, you'd have to think there's a pretty good chance that, you know, some team that places a guy on waivers or DFAs him, whatever. Maybe there's some small trade that's made. But in terms of something big, I wouldn't necessarily assume that's happening. But they have the capital to do it. I mean, there's no question about that. But I think Mike Elias would be the first to say, look, win the pennant April 5th. You know, we don't need to have our bullpen finalized or fortified by April 30th. You know, we want to have that for the stretch. Certainly want to have it by October. So, you know, and we talked about that a lot last year, and you know, they ended up not really being able to do that. You know, Fuji was not, it didn't work out. You know, it was worth taking the swing, but it didn't work out. So same with Jack Flaherty. So, you know, you're not going to bat 1,000 on those attempts, but yeah, you look at this team right now. We're gonna, you know, I'm gonna be in the clubhouse this week, looking around and, you know, wondering if some of the young guys, you know, are they gonna be there opening day? If not, when will they be there? Will it be May? Will it be June? You know, so, you know, I think Jackson Holliday is gonna be on the opening day. I mean, I think he's done everything you can possibly ask. At the same time, I'll remind everyone, he had 91 plate appearances at AAA last year. He's 20 years old. He's learning a new position, although, you know, the early reviews have been that he's looked good at second base. But if they deem them it being better for him to, I don't know, spend 3 or 4 weeks in Norfolk, you know, who am I to argue with that? I mean, because we don't know for sure, you know, in the same way that Gunnar Henderson struggled some early on last year, and he was rookie of the year. So Jackson Holliday could get here May 1st and still win rookie of the year. So it's not as though opening day is the beginning. It's not a, you know, it's not a culmination. It's the beginning of 2024. And what the roster looks like on opening day surely is not what it's going to look like July 31st or October 1st. So, that's where you look at this thing, and Mike Elias is deliberate. He's very deliberate in what he does. I think we know that by now. If there's anything we know about him as a general manager, it's that he's going to be methodical and deliberate. And yeah, he'll make a move when it makes sense, but he's not going to make a move just for the sake of making a move. So I think through that lens, being down there this week and looking at the guys that are going to play, that okay, we know the veteran players. I mean, that's that there's nothing that terribly exciting about that, but it's looking at a Kobe Mayo and saying, when's he going to be in Baltimore? Could it be May? Could it be June? Looking at, we've already talked about Jackson Holliday, but looking at some of the young pitchers, they've got some guys that are going to be in the AAA Norfolk rotation that could help them at some point, whether you're talking about a Povich, whether you're talking about a Chase McDermott, guys like that that aren't going to be in the opening day rotation, but could factor in at some point down the line, or could be traded for something else. So, it's really a time period to kind of one, just see some baseball in live and living color, and the excitement of knowing that opening day is right around the corner, but also, to kind of feel out what some of these guys, what they look like on the field, how they handle themselves in the clubhouse, all of that. And, I'll get an idea of that this week. No sweeping conclusions by any stretch of the imagination, but very much looking forward to, kind of seeing what the proverbial vibe is around the club as opening day is just about here.
Well, it's a crowded bag, right? I mean, much like with the Ravens, every time Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley and Lamar Jackson come back from getting their ass kicked in the postseason, it gets saltier, it gets more tired, They've only got one, right? And there's all of this optimism. And for the young players, they got kicked in the teeth in Arlington, and it's a long, but that's all over with now. Now it's just, here we are. We're a new group. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of optimism, but also, dude, a boatload of confidence that this team's really good and showed it not just over the balance of last year, but over the balance of the last year and a half. And the expectations through the roof that, I don't know, quiet confidence. I don't know what it would be called, but quiet competence as well, because they look to be up to the part. That right from the get-go this year, they should come out of the gate and be a above 500 team in the early weeks, and they shouldn't be 7-14 and limping through the end of April, right? I mean, there's zero chance of that happening in my mind, especially now that they fortified some of the pitching and they got a real starter and they're coming north with all of this. It's just a different level of expectation. But to see the young guys and dealing with that disappointment and shouldering that on to say, all right. 101 last year, 103 this year. Now, I know you're not going to say that. You'll say 101's really high bar, like 13 wins. We set a lot of bars here last year. And then we set a lot of bars for how disappointing it could be when it doesn't go well. And you hope the guys respond well to that.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I'm not even going to, I'll disagree with you in saying there's no chance that they start 7-14. It's baseball. Over the course of a 162 game season, even really good teams go through stretches where they might go 7-14 over a 21 game stretch. Now, am I predicting that? Of course not. But I think it lends itself well to something that I'm going to be looking for, not this week specifically, but just in a general standpoint, and I think is a fair question for this team is, they are in a different position now in terms of they're not going to sneak up on anyone anymore. I mean, last year, look, they were coming off of the really good second half in 2022, right? They were in the wild card race all the way until about the last 10 days of the regular season. I mean, it was a really impressive season, but there was still a sense at that point of, okay, that was good, but what about A, B, and C? What about these issues? You're still really young. What about the pitching? Going through the list. And then 101 wins later, they were the top team in the American League and had the number one seed in the playoffs before being swept by the Rangers. I think what's going to be key for this team now is, how do you handle expectations, not so much from the media or fans, but for themselves? You know very well that this team had a lot to think about over the offseason in terms of being swept by the Rangers and having the 5-day layoff and how that impacted them. And having all these dreams of making a deep playoff run or going to the World Series, and it didn't work out that way. Hey, it happens, right? Ask the Dodgers about that. Ask the Braves about that the last couple of years, where they've been, arguably the two best teams in baseball over the last 4 or 5 years, and we've seen how the postseason's gone for them at times. So, it happens. But how does this team compartmentalize and get back in a mindset of handling their business, understanding that you can't make the playoffs in April? You can't make the playoffs in May. You have nothing you can do to change anything about how you play in October, in June or July, right? You have to focus on the task at hand. And that's a challenge for any club. And I remember famously talking about the Orioles of the Buck Showalter era, which was a much more veteran-laden club. We talked about it all the time, about what? Their ability to compartmentalize, to not get too high or to get too low. They did a great job with this last year, for a young team especially. But it is different when you have expectations, when you're in a position where, and I get it, you look at Vegas, I mean, the Yankees are the favorite to win the AL East. I get that. But it's a team that's clearly not being picked to finish last, right? That territory, they've graduated well beyond that. So, it is a challenge for younger players, and really for everyone, but especially younger players, to just handle expectations. And I think it's just going to be important for these guys to handle that, to manage that, to be in a position of knowing that, hey, if we do get off to a rocky start and we're 7-10 after 17 games, that's not the end of the world. That's not any reason for panic. Now, you don't want that to happen, but over the course of a full season, yeah, anyone in baseball is going to lose 10 of 17 at some point in time. I mean, that's not even that bad of a slump in the big picture. But if it happens in April, it's more magnified, right? Everyone's overreacting because we overreact in April. So it's just, it's just about the maturity of the club. And look, I'm not questioning that, but it's just what any team has to deal with. We talked about this some last year, and I think it's relevant just because of Mike Elias and Sig Meidel. But, you look back at the Astros. 2015 was the year they broke in as a wild card. Now, they didn't win 101 games like the Orioles did this past year. But what happened the following year? It was a bumpier ride for them. Go back and look. They missed the playoffs. And it wasn't this linear improvement where you say, okay, well, we won 87 games, and then we're going to win 92, and then we're going to win 98, and then we're going to win the World Series and win 103 games. It doesn't go like that. And that's why I've made the point in terms of saying, if you're asking me to bet against the, 101 wins, over or under, I'm going to bet the under. And that's not to say that I don't like this club a whole lot, but it's really difficult to win 101 plus games. And, you've got to stay really healthy. And they did stay really healthy last year, sans Felix Bautista at the end of August, losing him for the final month. This team easily could be, I don't know, a 93 win team. And maybe that's good enough to win the division, or maybe they're the top wild card. But you know what? They might be better equipped, even if they only win 93 games. They might be better positioned from a talent level standpoint, from a confidence level standpoint, from a health standpoint. They might be better equipped at that point to make a playoff run, better equipped than they were last October. So, you just don't know. You've got to be able to roll with the punches in a long season. I mean, you know that, Nestor. I mean, anyone who's a baseball fan understands that things aren't going to go your way. I mean, just like we were talking about a month and a half ago, we were talking about, oh my gosh, this team has Corbin Burnes and Kyle Bradish as a 1-2 punch. And then we find out the first day of spring training, what? Kyle Bradish is dealing with elbow soreness. So
we're not allowed to have good things around here.
Things aren't going to go perfectly. It's just that it's the nature of the beast. But the good news is, even understanding that, providing that caveat, they've got so much going for them that they have the ability to adjust. And one, they're really talented. I mean, they've got so many good young players. And two, they've got a general manager who has resources in terms of prospects. And again, like I said, hoping that they have some payroll flexibility if the right move presents itself that they can add and augment, whether it's a signing, whether it's a trade later in the year, whatever it is, that they can improve, that they are in a position that if they have a need, that they can go out and address that need. So, it's this time of year, for me, the big question that no one can answer, because you have to just go out and do it, right? I mean, guys are going to say, yeah, we're not focusing on October, But your play has to reflect that. And I think for these guys, it's going to get back. They have to get back in a mindset of where they were last April through September, right? Because that's where you are. You're not playing postseason games in April. So they've got to get back to that. And if they do, and I think they will, then they'll be fine. And they're going to win a lot of baseball games this year. And whether it's 101 again, or whether it's, I don't know, 95, I fully expect them to be in the playoff race and making the playoffs and being back in the postseason and having another shot at it after the disappointment of last year. But you've got to handle your business. You've got a long, long way to go until we're talking about playoff seeding and all that. So again, that's the challenge, I think, for a young club that privately, Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias and the coaching staff, you know, they're curious, you know, they're intrigued to see how these guys are going to handle the fact that now you have all these expectations. There's no longer going to be questions about, oh, wow, isn't this fun? I mean, you guys were in last place 2 years ago, and now you're winning 101 games. That's not going to be the line of questioning anymore. The line of questioning now is,
How'd you blow the
how are you
game in the
playing in the
eighth?
moment? You know, yeah, I mean, it's going to be much more on the present and where you're heading, not, hey, this is way better than it was a year or two ago. You know, now it's more so, hey, you're a big boy now. And by the way, these guys should embrace that. That's a compliment to them. You know, it's they're not going to be graded on a curve anymore. And that's a credit to all the work they put in. But until you see a team handle that, it's at least a fair question. And it's not a concern, it's a question. And well, we'll see how they start handling it come, next week and getting into the meat of the season.
We are going down to Sarasota. We're doing a little baseball. Luke Jones joining us here. We are also going to be doing some football. The owners' meetings are going on. Will there be a Papel sighting? Will there be purple plumes of smoke flying over the Four Seasons that Steve Bisciotti will appear, answer questions? You know, and this is where the unseemliness of having a wide receiver getting checked out for off-season shenanigans and not nearly the problems they have with Tariq Hill right now down in Miami, only again. But, you know, this is where owners kind of hide, and you're going to the owners' meetings for the first time. Just some thoughts on all that. Harbaugh's going to have his breakfast before it's all over with next week as well. We're going down for double duty. I used to do this for like professionally. The owners' meetings for the NFL, it's just there's never an off minute, right? There's never a nanosecond where it's down. And I don't know what the biggest questions for them are. I think part of it is the business of streaming and the business for baseball, too. Bill Cole and I talked about, we're talking about Rubenstein fixing the team and all that. Baseball's got fundamental issues with how the game's being presented that the new Orioles ownership's going to inherit. But meanwhile, we get these 32 fat cats that just money flying everywhere for the football owners. And I don't know what their big questions are or what we're, I mean, we saw a guy die on the field last year, right? So last owners' meetings was a different, there were different tones and all of that. I don't know what's important to them anymore. Obviously, these international games, you're going to play a game in Brazil this year and making money and money and more money. But really, the presentation of the game is the thing I'm interested in because this is where all that sort of gets hashed out, and Amazon comes over the hill and says, we're going to start putting Saturday night playoff games on Peacock.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's definitely a topic of discussion and will remain a topic of discussion. I don't think you or many people are going to like the answers that you're going to hear because there's probably going to be more of that, right? I mean, streaming's not going away, and that's reality. I think, you know, the NFL is different because it's, you know, a much more exclusive product in terms of it's a much smaller number of games, right? I mean, the exclusivity of it, the you know, once a week, rather than a sport like baseball or even hockey or the
Well, that's
NBA.
why they've thrown all of us out and make everything a television show, right? I mean, there's you're out there at a press conference to bang pots and pans, so everybody runs to Ravens.com and watches Derrick Henry on the lounge, right? Like that's their television show now. You know that's the they're in a complete dude. I'm doing this 25th documentary on us. I released this thing on my dad and the book and like how things used to be. This is a great example of their off seasons are a television circus now for them, where even they have outtakes now, where when Sam Cooke walks into the hallway in the middle of the shoot where they're lining up the shot, they have to stop the tape, tell everybody to go back into their room and reshoot the reality series. It's insane.
Although I did find that clip funny, just because it's Sam Cooke and we know Sam,
Oh,
but
I think it's very, very indicative of it's a television show now. DaCosta is like an actor. I mean, literally, DaCosta used to be a real human. He was a human being in my life for 30 years. I now see him on television mixing drinks with his wife on Facebook and performatively performing for television cameras behind the scenes that we see that is no longer eye in the sky. Hard knocks, it's performative television. They're doing reality, they're doing Real Housewives out there. They really are.
yeah, I mean, it's
That's where it's gone the last 5 years since the plague. Since I've been
right,
losing out. Yeah.
and it was even trending that way before then. I mean, if we're, when you talk about team websites, state-run media, so to speak,
Well, the worst
it's.
part is just reading the social media, just the non-stop fan uppery of it all. Like the
Yeah.
self-congrat every day there's five platitudes for how great they are and the best and we're it's just it's sophomoric for me for my tastes for my media taste and for my fan taste. It's even over the top for Nasty Nestor dressed in purple and camo in the front row of the upper deck with the defense sign. It's a little
Yeah.
365 that it's a lot, man. It's a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they also have plenty of social media numbers that would tell you that that works for them. I mean, look, I agree. I don't disagree with what you just said, but there are lots of people that eat it up, and the numbers kind of reflect that and support that. So, I mean, it's, I hate to say it is what it is, because it's disappointing in some ways, but let's face it. I mean, the reality of where the Ravens are, where the NFL is, and this is true of the other sports, but to lesser degrees, because they're every other sport is a little more niche, a little more niche, of compared to the NFL, that continues to, we talk about ratings going down with just about any TV show or any other sporting event other than the NFL, that continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger, or at the very least stays the same. Not they might conflate the numbers, or streaming versus actual television, Nielsen ratings, but people are watching it, right? Everyone watches it. The biggest sport in America is the NFL. Second biggest is the NFL off season. I mean it's just the truth, whether we like it or not. I mean, it's how it is. And the owners' meetings, I mean, I have not gotten a sense that Steve Bisciotti's going to talk, and
Man, we've really lowered the
I
bar.
think
You know
the
what I mean? Like this isn't about me getting thrown out or Chad Steele being Chad Steele.
sure.
This is really, they have really purposely lowered the bar at every level for how fans are treated. And I really hope David Rubenstein comes in and sees this. And if I ever made real contact with him, if I get an hour or two, a lunch or this or that, man, I tell him, what mine eyes have seen, and I've written about it, and I talk about it on a daily basis. I mean, Lock and Four is off the reservation over there, right? Like, I mean, a legitimate journalist who did his whole life doing this work, not only kowtowing and working for Angelos last summer, but being misled by the team on purpose to make an ass of him, throwing me out to make an ass of me, having me drive you around like Lou from Back to School so we can have a Chad Steele approved representative inside the owners meetings. I mean, it's trash and it should be below their dignity to behave in this fashion. But this is cool. And this is the week they all get together at the pool, billionaires and multimillionaires and 100 millionaires like Harbaugh. And they all sit around the pool. When we talk about Ronnie Stanley's made $100 million. Why don't any of these people need anything other than their own internal Pravda, which is where it's gone. And I don't think it's that way everywhere. I think they wish it were that way everywhere. I think there's places where they're trying to build the Los Angeles Chargers. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? They have franchises that are so off the radar that they can't get oxygen. Same thing with baseball. We're going down to Tampa. There's 15 teams running around down there, and nobody cares about the home team. You know, so there really is, you know, and we talk. I mean, dude, it's March Madness week. You get a bracket? Neither does anybody else. You right? I mean, like,
well, I mean, if we're going to transition, and look, I didn't have a whole
you
lot.
You can
of,
bet on it now if you want, you know, like literally.
No, you always could, but.
But the world's changed, dude. I mean, you talk about 9 years since you and I have been to Sarasota. It's going to be 2 years since I went to an owner's meetings that I've been to for 20 years. The owners used to like try to be getting fans. Now they just put up a rope and put Chad Steele in front and surround themselves with security and, you know, roll in underneath the stadium and roll out and give a pap a wave. And it's like they don't own the team anymore. It's and they don't live here. It's, you know, I'll be writing about that. But Rubenstein coming in, that there's a real lane here for the Orioles to do things differently and to treat people the way the Ravens thought about things 25 years ago when they were trying to sell you a poor sucker's license.
Well, I mean it comes down to it, and I just pulled it up. I mean, the Ravens have 1.9 million followers on Twitter/X. Go look at how many followers they have on Instagram. I mean, through their how they view it, through their lens, and I'm not picking on the Ravens. I'm using them as an example because I think this is becoming more and more prevalent. I think anyone who consumes any sports teams on social media see it. They view it as they don't need anyone. I mean, they can do it on their own, and they've got enough of a following that they can do that. Now, we certainly get into the dangers of that, the drawbacks of that, you know, and this transcends.
Well, what happens is Harbaugh stands up, lies often, and no one's there to call him out on it. And they have 1.9 million people say, no, this is the truth. This is it. That guy's only got 12,000 followers. He can't be telling the truth, even though it's obviously true, right? So the one thing about the offseason, when they cut players and all that, we never hear who they're lying to with agents. Ozzie was kind of famous for pissing off kind of everybody, then making friends with nobody, loyalty to no one in that industry. You don't hear so much about that part of the offseason because, as I said earlier, the decisions they make, you learn who they love and who they don't, and how they feel about Morgan Moses and Ronnie Stanley, and how they felt about Derrick Henry, and how they felt about Kevin Zeitler. And just you learn all of that on that. But in season, who's starting, who's playing, who's running the ball, who's playing the nickel package, you know, who's actually coming in from the bullpen. Like, we learn all of that, but there used to be a give and take about legitimate questioning from legitimate experts that I deemed you one of in 2008. That'll be in the documentary too, that qualifies you to go in and earn the respect of Johnny Oates and then Davey Johnson and then Mike Hargrove and through the Ray Miller and through the years of Cal Ripken, that you're someone they want to converse with in the media that is going to present them fairly. There's no more presenting fairly. You present yourself on Twitter and social media. Your agent handles you even when you tell a guy in Pennsylvania to perform fellatio. You're like, and then the team handles you, and then Chad Steele blocks me at the door, and Bisciotti doesn't show up. I mean, it's almost farcical. I mean, it really is. Like, you'll sense my sense of humor going down to cover all of this as reporters. But to your point, there is no more reporting. There is just, they're going to call us liars when we report the truth, and they're going to have a video from Pravda headquarters and dispute whatever the dispute is and handle it pretty much the way Trump's handled things, quite frankly, that it's just okay to handle things that way these days.
Well, I mean, the one thing I did, there's still reporting. I mean, there's still lots of great reporters out there, but I think in a general sense, yeah, teams are much more guarded, much more secretive than ever. And, you know, frankly, again, it goes back to, why are we going to give that space when we can give people the news and reporting on our own website through our own media channels?
They don't want a guy at the press conference to ask why Lamar runs the ball 23 times a game. They prove that. I mean, like, they don't even want a tough question, let alone
But they still get tough questions. I mean, I'm there every day. They get tough questions. Now, are they willing to answer it? that's a different story, right? I mean, you can ask the question. If they're not going, if they don't want to answer it, they're not going to
Here's the
answer
toughest question. You give you the real bitch of the question. Where's your owner? Where's the guy
Sure.
that runs it once a year?
Sure.
I mean, that's not much to ask. And where is he in Baltimore with Baltimore media, where Jane Miller can come and the Banner folks can come, and anybody that has a question about the $600 million we gave the organization and the gold-plated bathrooms and the beer being colder? Steve, is the beer really colder inside the perimeter? Are the hot dogs really tastier inside the perimeter? Really? I mean,
Yeah.
your organization came out and fronted that after we gave you $600 million and you're hiding in Bimini. I mean, it's insane. I mean, really, from where I came from trying to get a team here 30 years ago, and from the beginning of I'm buying the team, I'm here, we're accountable, we're a community, or like all of that, to Chad Steele's behavior, I can only comment on it with facts. I have nothing else to facts, history, words, deeds, pictures, video, evidence. That's all I come at it with, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, I don't disagree. I think, there's a middle ground between what Jerry Jones is in Dallas, which is having press conferences after every game. It's way too far in the other direction.
Aren't you
quite
really
frankly.
blessed that we played the Rangers in the playoffs and saw that?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, literally, you and I went to the Star in
it's
Dallas
wild.
On a full tour with an insider, and I still can't get over it. And I thought the scuffle a couple of weeks ago was it on the T-shirt guy show? What's it? The ESPN guy McAfee? Was it not like a topic amongst Cowboys players saying they're in Houston, they're soft over there or whatever? And I thought to myself, these guys have so much money and so much that they can build that for football a team. I mean, and I tell anybody that's never been there, you don't have to be a Cowboy fan to go there to see what a circus it is. And maybe why they don't win to some degree. Maybe.
Well,
John Harbaugh would come and look at that and say, I can't win like that. So some football people would look at that and literally say, that's not a great – it's not an ideal situation in the way that Harbaugh said running around with water coolers in a gym out in Westminster is not really getting us ready for the football season, sleeping on bad beds, not really preparing us.
Right. But, to go back to the point I was trying to make, there's Jerry Jones who's talking after every single football game and calling into a station in Dallas every week. Look, does Steve Bisciotti need to do that? Should he do that? I would say no. I think there's too much of a good thing on that front that is detrimental to your own organization and your own operation. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think it's a good thing that Steve Bisciotti doesn't hold an annual State of the Ravens press conference anymore. I think it's not just talking to the media, it's talking to the fans. Forget about the media guys, talk to the fans.
Dude,
in
show
that
your
way.
Face.
So, and look, it doesn't sound like he's going to talk at the owners' meetings from what I hear. And I think there's probably, and look, I don't know this for certain, there's probably a thought to, you think about the last few times that he's spoken, a couple years ago, it was calling out the Haslams and, comments that were made about Lamar's contract situation at that point that did not necessarily, probably did not go over well. Certainly probably didn't go over well with the Browns and the league, didn't go over well with Lamar and his camp in terms of trying to get a contract. Go back to what, 6 years ago when he was asked about Joe Flacco's, the heir apparent drafting a replacement for him, a successor. And his comment was famously, we have bigger fish to fry. And then they drafted Lamar 2 months later. So he would probably tell you why, and I'm not excusing this, but this is the thinking that I would guess is he would probably tell you, when I talk, I either get myself in trouble with some of those things or things get twisted around or taken out of context, whatever. Now, do I think that that's valid? No. Personally, I would say that that's a really lame excuse. But I'm guessing that's probably what the mindset is. And they would say,
you made
it
fun of me the last time. You twisted my word. I mean, come on, dude. Come on, man. I've been doing this my whole life. Stop that ish. Stop with that.
I'm not defending that. I'm just saying that's probably what the mindset is there. So, look, at the end of the day, The 32 owners run the league. You know, Roger Goodell is not going to make,
Well,
you know.
that's my point. Like, Steve has admired Jerry from afar and thinks Jerry's off the reservation with a lot of things Jerry does in regard to the media and opening his mouth and larger than life. But that's what's made the Cowboys the Cowboys. And that's what's made, honestly, the Ravens shrink in our community while still throwing off so much money. This is where it got sideways with Angelos. And when I write to Steve, maybe soon, maybe I'll have a little extra time on my hands this week under a palm tree while you're inside the locker room and I'm outside. Give me a little time to write. I would just say for Steve, he's made so much money off this. This has been the greatest investment of his life, right? Like, he made the first couple hundred million, and then this thing has been the thing that's just been money falling off the tree. He doesn't have to do anything well or anything poorly. He's got Chad Steele as his brand manager. Chad Steele's the one he listens to that says, stay in Bimini. We don't need you. Count your money. We don't need you. We don't need you around here. Go play golf, Steve. Go have some wine. You can afford it. You know, like, there's no problem here. Look at the bank account. There's no problem here. Look at the seats, Steve. Look at the potentiality of this. Well, you don't care about potentiality. I could see Steve blowing a cigar after the third Miller Lite saying to me, made $5 billion on this franchise. $5 billion. I haven't done anything wrong. Okay. I mean, who am I to argue? I mean, like, how could anybody argue? Because he doesn't have to do anything. And the things on autopilot, whether tickets are $10 on game day, whether they're giving seats away, whether there's a bunch of people out in Owings Mills sending me emails every day trying to get me to rebuy PSLs to get seats I got thrown out of by their brand manager. So I would just say this is the point where they won 13 games. Lamar's the quarterback. Hocus pocus. They got Derrick Henry. Hocus pocus. They have the 30th draft pick. Hocus pocus. There was no Zay Flowers. The cops said nothing happened there. Hocus pocus. Hey, you know, let's go to Ravens.com. We have a feature on Rashad Bateman. The team really loves him. Let's get him on the lounge. Like, if you don't put pressure on him this week during the owners' meetings when he's supposed to speak and supposed to show up, and they're supposed to let real reporters in that they let in for 20 years, then there is no pressure. But the pressure comes when there's a new owner coming on the baseball side who's not might not be a jackass. He might be a right guy. He might be in front of this thing. He might be out shaking hands and saying, I want you to come back to the team and I want you to forgive the sins of the creep that owned the team the last day and the creepier kid that I bought the team from after 30 years of not caring about the fans at all. Football team doesn't care about you. The owner doesn't show up. Like, so there is a point where the tectonic plate shifted and David Modell caught, dude, how did the B get on their helmet? I was around for all of that. I mean, David Modell walked the streets of Baltimore 96, 97, 98 and smelled the arrogance of the Angelos family. So did David Cope, who worked inside of there. So did Baker Koppelman, who used to be my friend. So did Roy Summer. All these people worked in the Orioles. They came, they worked for the Ravens, and they went out on the streets and won over the community with roost and fans and corrals and angered the NFL people. A lot of really pissed off people didn't want to come back to the NFL at all. And the baseball team has a chance. I mean, this is a real tectonic plate shift. And the difference is this particular football owner isn't Art Modell, didn't come here broke trying to figure out things for the next generation and sell purple Barney outfits. The football owner is so fat on his own arrogance and wealth hanging out in Florida that he can just do whatever he wants to do. And it doesn't matter whether people come or not. We just gave him $600 million to build gold-plated bathrooms that most of the great unwashed will never use or see. And they still can't sell tickets in a year when they have the greatest player in the sport, MVP, best team on the planet. And there was no furor to run to the ballpark this year. And I don't see any furor to run back. There's no waiting list on season tickets. Not that that's an old-school way of thinking about things, but I would think Rubenstein's coming in and saying, what's our season ticket list? How do we get more people in here all the time? How do we make it a festival? How do we make it a club? How do we make it a place you can't not come? Because they're going to start thinking about things differently with the baseball team. They are. Like, new stuff's coming down the line. And the football team owner just A meatballs line from Bill Murray. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter whether he shows up Monday or not. It
Well,
doesn't
and
matter.
but part of that, and look, I don't
That's
disagree
the
with a lot
truth.
of what
That's the
you're
truth of
saying,
the arrogance. Yeah.
but they've also been very successful and have continued to be very
Then come
successful. And
to off your cap and take some tough questions.
but I'm
Get the arbs
but
out.
he but this goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago. I mean, there's no incentive to do that
None.
from his perspective.
None.
I'm trying to give you what I believe would be their line of thinking on that. And I'm not saying it's right. I disagree
Well,
with
when
it
you've
too.
managed your whole life on how much money can I make on that? Is there any money in it for me? Is there any sunshine in it for me? You know, is there only can only bad come of it? My risk management of like, what's the upside? What's the downside? Well, what's the obligation?
Sure.
What's the obligation?
I hear
When you
you,
talk
but
about God and you talk about, you know, respect for people and you talk about helping other people and you talk about like all of that, they love to hide behind all of that. But then when I come and, you know, quoting their good book, and when I come and say, what is your obligation in all of this? What was the promise that you gave 20 years ago? What changed along that way? Oh, the part where you lied about the a woman getting punched in the mouth in a glass elevator. And you wonder why we have questions about Zay Flowers? We should have questions, and you should have answers and evidence, because that was what the expectation was when you bought a team for $400 million, $500 million, and the team's worth $5 billion now, and you're making me go to Peacock to watch games. You keep reaching into my credit card as the stadium empties out. It's ins I don't
You got to be careful.
come and speak to.
The stadium empty. You're a little hyperbole there. I'm covering every game. Look, is it packed to the gills the way it used to be? No. Is there a long list for PSL? But let's not characterize it like there's 10,000 people going either. Their attendance,
There's 10,000 people not going most weeks, and
but
that should trouble
relative
them.
to the rest of the league, I don't think that they're in a crisis mode.
Well, then the league should answer to that. Everybody, when we were down there this week, you're going to make smaller stadiums.
Everyone's
That's
making money.
baseball's answer, which is smaller stadiums, right? Literally. We'll get our revenue elsewhere.
Sure, but you just said it. They're getting the revenue. I mean, they're getting the revenue.
That's the point.
And the whole point of this, everything you just said, and look, I certain elements of it, like I said, I wouldn't characterize it in some ways that you did, but yeah, the overall points, I'm not going to sit here and dispute you. But people, they put a game on Peacock. Guess what? People watched it. They put Thursday Night Football on Amazon. It's a terrible product. Thursday Night Football stinks. It stinks. Guess what? People watch it. We're telling it, when I say we, I don't mean you and me. As football fans, we're telling them it's okay. That's why I tell people all the time, if you don't like something, stop watching it. If you hate Thursday Night Football, don't have an Amazon
See, this
account
is
or
where if they made me commissioner, just get together and go to 18 games, kill these preseason games, start the season in the middle of August, give everybody 2 bye weeks. I mean, make the thing sensible.
And they will. What? That's going to be the next CBA. I mean,
And put your four
that'll be the
teams
next
in
thing.
Europe and just do it all at once and figure it all out and let's go. Put the team in Mexico City that you're gonna, you know, move the Jaguars there, or probably the Chargers, right? I keep saying the Chargers are gonna wind up in Europe. They're gonna wind up in Mexico City. You know, they're gonna wind up someplace where they get a
I still
whole
think the Europe
country
thing's
here.
more complicated than you make it out to be, but we'll see. We'll see. But the overall point is,
Thursday football is real complicated. Go out there and ask Harbaugh. He gets some, you know, Thursday football, nothing more complicated than getting humans ready to go to war 4 days after they just did. So
but we're
they can
talking
sell
about
that. They can sell a flight across the water.
that's not the same thing as flying across the country or flying across the Atlantic Ocean constantly. I mean, but the point that I was trying to make is they get away with it, but they act like they can get away with it because they do.
They
And
get away with everything. There's
that's
nothing
what I'm
they haven't
saying.
gotten away
People
with.
watch it. That's why I said, like,
Look
okay,
at
we
Dan
can.
Snyder. He's off living the good. You know, he cashed his bag. He ain't going to jail. He ain't doing, you know, all of his sins and crimes and awful stuff that he did to humans, awful stuff that he did to people, the way he did, literally, you know, I mean, he's just counting his money. It's like John. Think about John Angelos. He's just, when this is all over with, he's just going to go to Nashville and be a billionaire. That's amazing.
I mean, it's
And he'd be a lot happier that he, I don't know that there's miserable people can't be happy. You know, I mean, you're already a billionaire's kid. I've never seen him smile. So I don't know that the money, like having the take. Well, I did when the champagne was getting dumped on his head. He was happy in on his television network that we all paid for. You know,
Yeah.
$3 billion worth of television network that went through the hands of the Orioles. You listen, we're quite. I'm going to have my sandals on. We're going to Florida.
Yeah,
It's
be
spring
fun.
training. But I mean, these are, you know, they need a foot up their ass out in Owings Mills. That's not Lock and Forest. That should be mine. So we'll see how it goes. But a lot of expectations. I'll just say this from you and me and for the work I've done, and I'm doing this 25-year doc and all this stuff, there has never been a better time for Baltimore sports than right now. That doesn't mean it's more crowded or there's more passion for it or that there are more Oriole fans and less lacrosse fans or that every Ravens fan's running out to buy a PSL the way we did 25 years ago and tailgating and making family plans and waiting for the calendar to fly to Green Bay or whatever. But from a local fan, for what we do, talking about winning championships and good sports teams on the field, there's never been a better month year to be on the radio at AM 1570 than right now. The future's never been brighter because we've never had a future to even look at with baseball that we could look at, even if we're wrong and it all falls apart and they don't win anything and Rubenstein's terrible and he's an awful guy and awful. If all that happens, I'll still take it over what we've had the last 30 years and certainly take the position they're in where John Angelos, when I write my goodbye to him, he left Elias, he left the organization in good shape. So for that, I'll send him a Christmas card for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're in a great spot. Is everything perfect? No, of course not. And it's not anywhere, to be clear, but you have a Orioles team that's entering what should be a sizable window to have a chance to win a World Series or two, you hope, at some point over the next 5, 6 years. And on the Ravens side, yeah, they've endured some attrition this offseason, and it's going to be tough to look at their roster on paper and say it's as formidable as it was a year ago, but that doesn't mean it won't still be very, very good. And I think back to like 2012. All right, Ravens won the Super Bowl that year, Orioles made the playoffs. You know, that was still kind of two ships passing in the night that you weren't expecting, right? This is different where you look at it on paper. And if you could make the prediction today and say each of these franchises will win a world championship over the next 5 years, and I don't think anyone would call you a crazy person saying that. And the fact that you could say that, that's pretty exciting, right? Whether it happens or not, we'll see. But you're right. I mean, it's very, very much uncharted territory that, frankly, for the city, when you have to go back to what, the late 60s, you know, with the Colts and the Orioles, just in talking about the two big league teams in town. So, you know, this is fun. Even with some of the things that we just talked about for the last 20 minutes that could be better, should be better on the field as it pertains to players and coaches and all that, things are in really good shape on both fronts. There's
Well, let's
no denying
think
that.
about this fully, right? Had the Orioles won the World Series and went down to Houston, kicked their ass, and then next thing you know, we win the World Series. And had the Ravens survived the AFC Championship game, came back, Lamar gets in the phone booth, something happens, we win the game, kick a field goal, Tucker kicks an 82-yard field goal, we win, and we, you know, go to the Super Bowl and win. Would the team owners have had press conferences then? Would they have taken questions then? Maybe. Maybe. Probably. Yeah. So, you know,
Probably.
well, yeah, probably. Yeah. That's what I would think. So,
But I don't know for sure. Who knows? But probably.
just think about what that implies. We're all good winners. He is Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. We are both out on social media. We're both going to be, well, one of us is going to be at the pool. The other person is going to be working with a working media credential. Listen, man, I love sunshine. I love Mickey Mouse. I love nice hotels. I like pools. I like football coaches. So this is going to be a nice little getaway. We're going to be down at Sarasota all week. Follow us out on social media. Follow him at Baltimore Luke. Follow us at WNST. And certainly follow us anywhere you do as we prepare for opening day and the best year of sports ever. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Lancelot Link, secret chimp, and Baltimore Positive. You can Google that.